Hey, I can't do the weird, like, Bela Lugosi thing I did for the last one, so here's our podcast. It's about the defense, which will be a little bit scary. Welcome to Angle Podcast 11.0B.
Is that the official numbering now?
Well, it's 0B. It's not like OB.
11.0/.
It's 0B.
Okay.
So,
That's how we'll put it.
Well, we're talking about the defense. I'm Brian Cook.
I'm Ace Ambender.
I'm Seth Fisher.
And these are our sponsors, the Bow Store, the residents in Ann Arbor downtown, the University of Michigan Alumni Association, Michigan Law Grad, Underground Printing, Homeshore Lending, Peak Wealth Management, Human Element, Ann Arbor Elder Law, the Phil Klein Insurance Group, Randy Wise Chevrolet, Perrin Brewing, and Fuego Box. So this podcast is about the defense, which unusually is sort of more uncertain than the other side of the ball this year.
Yeah, it's weird. Since Don Brown, we've been like, okay, top five, top three, top one.
And now there are some serious questions, both arising from the way last year ended and also a couple of holes in Michigan's recruiting that
kind of
looked like.
Yeah, we knew these were coming down the line for a while, and then they had a defection. That
corner kind of popped up out of nowhere.
Yeah, I mean, we've had the luxury of just like Jordan Lewis and then David Long and LeVert Hill, and LeVert Hill's still around, and that's great.
Yeah, but that's not supposed to happen to you unless you're Alabama or something.
Well, that would be nice. But we're going to start with defensive line because this is how we do things. We start with the defensive line. Michigan has depth and I think quality at defensive end. They bring in Mike Dana from Central Michigan, who is a Pro Football Focus fave rave. They named him second team All-America this year. They named him a first
team
All-America last year.
Yes.
Yeah.
And my only kind of concern there is that they grade like I grade. So it's inherently about who you're going up against.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a first-team All-American.
Against MAC competition.
Against MAC competition.
So I watched a lot of film on him last year, and it's true. He got a lot of his pluses against like Rhode Island and other schools that you don't realize are schools.
And he graded out like a 50 against Michigan State, which is not
great. His worst game. And like Michigan State and was it Wake Forest, I think, was another big program. They didn't face any really great teams or great offensive lines. And a lot of his stuff is not a bull rushing. It's not like a Winovich where he's like just really slippery. He's like he gets down low and he just doesn't make mistakes. So his run grade on Pro Football Focus was almost as high as his pass grade. And he's not like a really big guy, but he's kind of a stout guy.
He's
and
like 260. He's 6'2", 260.
Yeah, yeah. But he gets really low. He's kind of like a Craig Rowe.
And you know, he would have been drafted this year. So I think there were reports that he probably was a mid-round draft pick this year if he came out. And he's...
His average tackle happened in the backfield, which is not bad.
Yeah, I mean, he's...
That kind of guy against MAC competition was just unfair.
So I don't want to necessarily downplay him too much, but I think this guy's a mid-round pick is a different message than this guy's an All-American.
Yeah, I mean, PFF is going off of, like, they like their grading system. And
right, and like they're not quite accounting for the context that their grades are necessarily in.
Yeah, because so, like I'm looking at Dan, and it's like I think he's going to be decent, but like, is he even the starter necessarily? Like, he might be rotating through.
I think he's the first of the three right now. Even if he's not officially,
that has not been the vibe that I've gotten.
Because he's the new guy; he just arrived this fall. He's working his way up the depth chart.
Quiddy Pay is like seems much more integral, both in terms of like his versatility and like the coaches have been talking him up as a guy who like never messes anything up and actually has more upside than we've seen from him.
Don Brown said he could be the best player in the country,
technique wise.
Is that what it is? Was that the rest of the quote was?
It was he said he is the best player in the country, technique wise. Which is I don't know how he wouldn't even know that. But
it's also a bit of a backhanded compliment.
It's not a backhanded compliment, I don't think. I mean, he's 280 now. Like, they have some big boys on this in these defense. Like,
I only say it's a backhanded compliment because his production does not nearly match that.
So he was a really good run defender last year when he had to come in for Gary, but he didn't really produce much as a rusher.
No.
And that's my concern. Like, can he get there? Maybe. But, you know, when Michigan has had really good rushers, it's quick. You know, they don't really have guys that pop out of nowhere. Like Winovich was pretty immediately
you could tell that guy was making an impact.
Right, and, you know, like Mike Martin.
Yeah, and, I mean, Uche is going to be another.
Yeah, or, you know, Mo Hurst. It's not subtle when you get a great pass rusher. So that's my concern, that he's just kind of going to be a guy. Yeah. But then Aiden Hutchinson, also up to 280, had a really promising freshman year, a guy who has been mentioned as a riser by a lot of people. I'm a big believer in him. Like, I think he can be an explosive, really, really excellent guy on either side of the line.
He didn't have the stats, but in terms of just, like, when you watched him play, he jumped out.
Yeah. Like, he, like we were talking about guys who announced themselves as pass rushers. I kind of feel like he almost did that as a freshman, but didn't get enough snaps, and he's probably going to do it this year. He just has that explosion.
Yeah, he seemed hard to, because he's also really long, so he seemed like he could do a really good job of warding off tackles and just not letting them get their hands into him.
Yeah.
And once you start developing some moves off of that, you can get really difficult to stop.
We've been talking up Iowa's Epenesa, who is, you know, a five-star version of what he is, and it's just a very long guy. You can never get into his chest, and then he's got a burst when he gets out and when he actually gets some pass by somebody, and that's what makes him so dangerous.
And then you have Luigi Villain, who's back from injury, lost a lot of weight, so I think it's probably next year for him. And then Julius Welshoff is another guy who I think...
Juice.
They're kind of talking about him at tackle a little bit now.
Yeah, and Steve also said that they like him, but it's more of a next year thing.
Right.
I mean, he's German.
Yeah, it makes sense.
It's going to take a minute.
Yeah.
Taylor Upshaw is listed at 240, which is not good, since he's supposed to be an anchor.
Yeah, instead he's Uche-sized.
Yeah, and then you've got Uche, who I think we're going to address as a linebacker, but could end up playing some... I would defensive end.
Yeah, he owns the Sam position, and it's more like a question of how often they're going to use it.
Right. So we'll talk. That's probably one of the most interesting questions about the defense, which we're going to get to in the next segment. And then I feel like I'm...
Ojabo.
Oh, yeah. Then they have some freshmen who are all going to redshirt.
He'll redshirt, but he'll also get his four games. He's a guy that they're talking about.
We're going to assume everybody gets their four games for the most part.
Ojabo is going to be Taco Charlton. So it's going to take a minute, but then it's going to be Taco Charlton. So that'll be good.
Yeah.
And then defensive tackle, which was foremost on my list of issues going into the season. And then Ambry Thomas.
Yeah, unfortunately got surpassed.
So now I'm like, this will be okay. So people are talking up Carlo Kemp as a guy who's improved a lot. I'm honestly skeptical. We saw what he was able to do last year, where he was a fine run defender who offered absolutely nothing as a pass rusher. And... He's a little bit older now, so it's not like he's going to turn into a totally different player. I'm sure he'll improve. I also think that he's going to be kind of a plugger as a nose tackle, and he's not going to be very dynamic.
Yeah, it seems like he'll just be a very strong run defender who doesn't provide much in the pass rush.
Yeah, defensive tackle. I mean, they had him at tackle last year at three tech, so he's going to be taking on more doubles this year. And he was always not a huge guy. I don't think he's up to 300 now, and that means he's never going to be.
Well,
so he's just got to... I mean, those guys can survive. Like, Garrett Rand in Wisconsin was really good a couple of years ago as that kind of small guy. I'm trying to think. There's other, like, 280-pound nose tackles you survive. But that's what you do. You survive. You're not going to be...
I think it'll do more than survive. I think it'll be fine. But, you know, the kind of transformative thing that I think a couple of the quotes are, like, talking about, not something I necessarily buy. So that makes Mike Dwumfor...
Very important.
Very, very important, because Mike Dwumfor is the kind of guy who gets like a sizzle hype reel from the top billing guy in which he says he's a good run defender, which is not true.
It's a lie.
But
selective clip pulling there.
He did a number of things that were extremely impressive last year. I particularly remember one instance where he essentially had a speed rush on a guard, which I had never seen before.
It's hard to do. There's not a lot of space in there.
It's very hard to do. So he does kind of have that Hurst aspect where he has incredible get-off. And last year he was playing most of the year with plantar fasciitis. Is that it?
I believe so.
It's one of the two. It's like, so he had that from the Maryland
game.
He
had a lingering leg injury that seems like it would greatly impact your ability to play defensive tackle.
And then there was... Harbaugh said he injured it in the bowl game, and Dwumfor tweeted out, "I don't know where this is coming from. I injured this in the Maryland game." And
it was like a fake news quote. He said, "It's like, dude, this is your own head coach saying this. I'm sorry, man."
The head quote. He did it. I'm not.
It's not our fault.
Do it.
And suddenly the hype dried up.
Well, I mean, he missed big chunks of spring too, along with Peoples Jones. He was a guy who Harbaugh kind of was like, I don't know about this. And then
he's dinged up again now.
He's dinged up again.
And coaches don't talk about guys who are hurt.
I heard recently, because I didn't have this for the bits that I put out this week, but or last week, that it's a different injury. So
I was sent a photo of him in a soft cast on his hand.
Okay.
So that's good news.
Yeah. Club a dude. Hey. Well,
yeah,
you can play through that.
So as long as it's not a foot thing, as long as it's not a knee thing that will get cleared up in a couple weeks, I'm completely happy with that. But 1-4,
the main concern is him getting ejected from the line of scrimmage against the run.
Right. And so the injury is actually a good thing in that context because he's not at 100%. And then it's just how much can he improve in that department now that he's healthy and a year older? I don't know. I mean, I don't think he even has to be great. I think he just has to be acceptable, and you just accept the fact that your run defense isn't going to be as good as it was last year and that the trade-off is very much worth it.
Yeah, I mean, because he can be an impact pass rusher from that tackle position, and that can be an absolute game changer.
You really, I've been hammering this all offseason. You need that in today's game. And we talked about how, like, modern offenses will nerf your defensive ends, and even if you have great pass rushers defensive end, you can get around that. Well, you cannot get around good tackles.
So there is kind of an issue that Michigan's interior pass rush was not just bad last year, it was abysmal. So, you know, if you have a guy who, if you are singling up one-on-one and he's able to push the pocket, that's more than what Michigan was getting last year. Mm-hmm. They were getting,
well, Kemp and Monet, both of them are not going to be power pushers.
Yeah, they were nothing.
Yeah.
So you don't need Mo Hurst to significantly improve what Michigan got from that position last year.
You need pocket constrictors.
Right. Or just guys who can attack half a guy and get someone off their spot and not necessarily come around for a thunder sack. Just something. So, I mean, if Kemp can do that, that would be a big thing. Just give you something.
He is supposed to be, like, super strong.
Yeah.
So there is some hope that maybe he can just bull guys into the quarterback.
And then the second team defensive tackles are probably Donovan Jeter, who has been getting all the right kind of hype ever since the offseason started. And then Ben Mason. Really?
they're already talking about, like, Ben Mason is situational now, and they're admitting it. And they're talking about the freshman finally.
Chris Hinton and Mozzie Smith,
who has changed his body shape since he got here. They thought he was going to need a year to, like, lose the baby fat and turn himself into a herbertization version of himself. And apparently that just happened in the entire offseason.
But all freshman defensive tackles are kind of bad. It's like wide receiver. It's a position where no matter how highly touted you are,
like, if you're treading water, you're doing really well.
There's just too much.
Yeah, Kemp was actually talking about this on the when they put it in front of the media, that at defensive tackle, if you take the wrong step, you're in somebody else's gap and the play is dead. Like, that's,
well,
it's not a position where you can make mistakes.
Right, and there are many, many mistakes you can make, because if you take the right step, but it's not the right step, it's just a little bit off, then someone's in your chest and you're being thrown into a pond.
Right.
So it's a tough thing for a freshman to be able to do very well. And Mason is pretty much in the same boat, right? Because this is his first year playing defensive line.
Yeah. So,
and he's also very undersized for it.
Yeah. I mean, the hope is that Chris Hinton's dad was in the NFL for 10 years as an offensive lineman. Like,
or you line Ben Mason like 5 yards off the ball and just have him literally scream into the line of scrimmage every time. And
a
see
possibility.
Just the barbarian attack.
He does literally scream.
Oh, that's I meant literally, literally.
Another possibility is that they play a lot of Josh Uche and they play a stack.
Yeah.
And that's not gone well. They might not have.
There are reasons it has not gone well. It's because they did not have really a dynamic athlete there. Like, Furbush was a good player for what he was, but he was a defensive fullback, and that was it.
Right. He was. You knew which gap he was going to insert.
Right. So after, I mean, you can get Florida with that, but then afterwards, after it's on tape, you know what's coming.
Right.
And, like, the way the stack works, you're not supposed to know where it's coming from.
Correct.
So, I mean, if Uche can actually play. We're getting into linebackers now.
Yeah,
but,
so let's not do that. Let's take a break, and then let's do that.
All right.
Let me just tell you a couple things to keep in your mind while you're out there. When we take the field, we're going to win. We've got big goals. We've got big ideas. We've got to win this game, and there is no game on the remainder of our schedule more important than the one you're going down to the tunnel to play today. Now let's go. Let's go.
Underground Printing is proud to present the Bow Store. Visit us at our new location at 333 South Main or online at www.bow.team.
It's painless, it's online, it's group ordering made easy for your next custom printed apparel order. Pogo from Underground Printing takes the aggravation out of custom printing for a group. Whether you're selling shirts for a fundraiser, organizing a large event, or trying to collect sizes and payment for a family reunion, Underground Printing is here to help. Save time and hassle every step of the way with our easy-to-use site. No more guessing what to order, chasing people down to pay, or wasting time trying to sort out who needs what. We'll set it up and you can just sit back and relax. We can even take care of individual shipping. To learn more about Pogo, visit us at any of our convenient locations or at pogo.undergroundshirts.com.
The places you'll go may seem far from Ann Arbor. From San Francisco to St. Louis to Shanghai. But as members of the Alumni Association, we're never far. Because Michigan is more than a place. It's a mindset that connects us. For those who leave Michigan, but for whom Michigan never leaves, this is where you belong. The Alumni Association of the University of Michigan. Join today at umalumni.com.
Hey, this is Seth from MGoBlog. Like many of you by now, when it was time to refinance my house, I talked to Matt Demarest at HomeSure Lending. Since we had bought only a few years earlier, it was amazing how different the experience was between Matt and our bank. He knows his stuff, gives you and your loan his personal attention, and can shop at the different lenders so you're always a priority. We are constantly getting similar feedback from readers who used HomeSure Lending when buying or refinancing a house in Michigan. He knows the mortgage industry well, which becomes a big deal when your loan is as complicated as mine was. If you're buying or refinancing, reach out to HomeSure Lending, NMLS number 1161358.
We have a lot in common. You rode the bus to Bursley, so did Larry Page, and so did I. And we all love MGoBlog. I'm Nick Hopwood, your MGo financial coach. My entire family went to Michigan State, but I was the smart one finding my way to Ann Arbor to study econ. I've been a financial planner for 17 years, earning the designation Certified Financial Planner, and founded Peak Wealth Management in Plymouth. Oh, you're pretty smart, and you probably have a sweet retirement spreadsheet already. My job is to make sure. As a financial coach, I make sure you're on track, or if you're not on track, I tell you exactly what you're going to need to do. And if you listen, I'll be able to tell you how your future should look, just like the knowledge. And I have cool charts and graphs to tell the story, sort of like the Mathlete. To learn more or schedule time to chat, check out peakwm.com/mgoblog.
Speak no evil, see no evil. Get it, baby, hope you catch that like T.O. That's how we roll, my life is a movie and you just TiVo. Mommy got me twisted like a dreadlock. She don't wrestle, but I got her in a headlock. Never, never do make a bedrock. Mommy on fire, psst, red hot. Bada bing, bada boom. Mr. Worldwide as I step in the room. I'm a hustler, baby, but that you knew. And tonight is just me and
baby,
you,
tonight,
darling.
The DJ kind of falling in love again. Yeah, baby, tonight, yeah, DJ God is falling in love. Let go, falling in love. Oh.
So, resuming our Josh Uche conversation, he had 7 sacks and like 20% of Michigan snaps last year.
I don't have a snap count for him, and I wish I did, but it's something like 40.
He had 7 sacks and 15 tackles. That's one of the craziest lines in the recent history of Michigan football. And, you know, he's
13 tackles.
13 tackles?
Yeah, over half.
So we're at a point now where he's a junior. He's 250. He's told the media just recently that he's going to get a lot more snaps. So is that as a defensive end? Probably not. That's going to be as the Sam. And when the Sam's on the field, Michigan's in a stack. And we were talking before the break about how when Noah Furbush was out there, he had to be the guy who inserts. And we should probably explain the stack. The stack is basically a regular 4-3 defense, except you take off a defensive tackle and you put on an extra linebacker, and then one of the other linebackers has to be screaming at the line of scrimmage, filling that gap, and acting as a defensive tackle.
Ben Mason!
Right. Well, the idea...
That's not even the worst idea. That's not the worst idea.
I know. I'm throwing it out there now and getting ahead of the game.
The way it's supposed to work is that, like, that linebacker coming with a head of steam is going to have as much momentum as any defensive lineman who's put his hand in the ground.
And then
you don't know where the line is.
Yeah, and then the unpredictability of where that comes from gets you a lot of tackles.
And those defenses get gashed. It's just... It's a strategy that teams use when they didn't have the players.
Right. It was originally like Mississippi State in the 80s.
Yeah.
Or Boston College under Don Brown.
Or West Virginia.
So it's a thing that you do when you don't have the horses.
Yeah.
And Michigan is in a little bit of a different position because they have some horses. It's just one of them doesn't fit.
Well, they might not have the horses at defensive tackle.
And then they have this guy.
Yeah.
Who's an unbelievably good pass rusher.
Who, if he played all of Michigan's snaps last year, would have had 35 sacks. I don't...
That might not be exactly how it works.
That's pretty much... It's called multiplication.
I mean, the Northwestern game last year where, like, they put him in right at the end and he gets, like, a pressure sack.
Yeah.
That was Uche's game.
And, I mean, he's an NFL-level pass rusher who is... I mean, he'd fit in a 3-4 as an outside linebacker, but Michigan doesn't have the defensive line personnel.
Unfortunately, I think the NFL is getting wise to that fact, and he might not be around next year.
We'll see, but, I mean, if he does that, then he'll...
He had a heck of a year.
Yeah,
so,
some
cool
things have had to happen.
Yeah.
So the other thing that makes it a little bit more plausible that they could do this is now Josh Rosh is a starting middle linebacker.
Mm.
And Devin Bush, greatest linebacker in Michigan history, a little small. So he's not ideal for running at the defensive line and standing people up. Ross is bigger. He's so you have two guys who are pretty natural fits for the whole Ben Mason Mohawk charge aspect of the 3-3-5 stack. And then the weak side linebacker, not so much. But
I mean, there's a lot of guys that they can throw in there to be too.
Gil's got some size.
Gil's not necessarily the guy. I mean, he's a returning starter, and they're talking about him not being the starter right now.
Like, yeah. Well, I think that's up in the air. So. But
up in the air if you're the returning starter is not...
Well, yeah, and he got half the snaps.
Anthony also got a lot bigger, so...
Yeah, so I think they have some athletes that they can try to get away with this. And it's not going to be every down, but, you know, if you want to take some pressure off your defensive tackles, you know, being able to have, 25% of your standard down snaps in a stack would help a lot.
And I know Ian Boyd wrote about this in our book, and then I wrote a little bit on the blog, too, that, like, not specifically the 404 tight, but like that kind of positionless defense of style of play is how teams have been responding to the spread, and that's been one of the most effective ways to counter some of these really quick spreads. I mean, you might see it against MTSU, who's like a 4 wide. You might see it pop out against Ohio State if you want to like throw them off, or Notre Dame. And you're playing with like a, you know, two Vipers and like another middle linebacker who's a blitzer, and that kind of thing. Uche fits in that scheme very, very well.
But, I mean, that's not...
It's not going to be Michigan's base scheme, but it's. I know for a fact it's in Don Brown's playbook.
Yeah, I mean, they ran a couple of dual Viper packages, but those were strictly passing downs. So passing downs I'm not really concerned about. Passing downs, they'll throw out some guys willy-nilly, it'll go fine.
Yeah, they might even have Uche's hand in the dirt at that point.
Right, so but what concerns me is like, okay, how do you get to passing downs?
Right, well... One of the ways these defenses function is they'll get a lot of pressure on the quarterback very quickly from the outside and the inside. And if you can do that consistently, you know, you gash for 5 yards, get gashed for 9 yards, hit them for a loss, and then they're in a passing down.
Yeah, so, I mean, that might be what it has to be because Michigan has consistently gotten gashed when they go to the stack under Brown. And part of that is that they haven't, I think, really dedicated themselves to it. Like, as we've mentioned, it was just Furbush doing the Furbush thing, so it's not unpredictable. And if they dedicate themselves to it, I think they'll get gashed some. But it might be a trade-off worth making. Because if you can get someone into a passing down, and you're putting Hutchinson and Uche and Dana and Pay on the field, you know, I think that's going to go pretty well.
Yeah, and if you create some extra turnovers that way, that goes a long way towards negating some of the increased yardage you're going to give up.
But speaking of the other linebackers, Kalik Hudson returns for his senior season as the Viper. Had a major come down in fancy stats last year.
In large part due to not playing Minnesota.
Yeah, didn't play Minnesota. didn't get 8 tackles for loss.
He's pretty down on himself for his performance last year, though.
Well, I mean, he got ejected from 2 games for targeting, one of which was legit and the other one was not.
He did take a pretty significant step back statistically. I mean, well, which players do pay attention.
And I think part of that was the fact that the defense changed. So they had to start using Khalik Hudson as more of a pass defender.
Mm-hmm.
He blitzed only very occasionally. I remember I was watching, I was doing a UFR for a game late in the season, and they sent him off the corner, and he got around an offensive lineman to get a pressure. And I was like, oh, yeah, he's good at that. And they just didn't do it with him last year because so they set up to avoid the slot fades. So now you're running slants. So now your linebackers have to be buzzing those slants. And when they're buzzing those slants, they can't be rushing the quarterback.
Yeah.
So Hudson gets tasked with that. Hudson gets tasked with carrying tight ends down the seam. Hudson does not get tasked with getting after the quarterback nearly as much. So hopefully, if you can get a solid nickel corner, and if that's Hawkins, great. If it's Dex Hill, great. And they can just kind of like deal with the slot by themselves, then you have a much greater ability to get after it as Khalik Hudson.
They also got a lot of pass rush from Devin Bush last year that they're going to have to replace because, yeah. Well, I like Josh Rosh. I don't think he's quite that explosive gap shooting.
Bush yeah. was more of a pass rush threat, I think, terror. In 17 than he was in 18.
He
was
five sacks last year.
He was buzzing.
For an inside linebacker, that's a pretty nice mark.
It is true that he did get to the quarterback a lot when he rushed, but he also didn't rush as much as he did the year before because of the slants.
Yeah.
So it was just an artifact of the way that Michigan had to deal with the personnel deficiency. So I'm actually very hopeful about Josh Ross. You know, I was when I graded the two weak side linebackers last year, I consistently was like, why is Gil playing? Because Gil was okay. He was there. He was a guy. He wasn't a total disaster. But Ross consistently made plays. He consistently graded out positively. And that's a rarity in the history of UFR, having guys who consistently...
The linebacker's hard.
Linebacker is very hard in the grading system because if you suck up on a pass and you get out of position, that's a problem. And if you take on the wrong... if you miss a tackle, there's just a lot that get put on
offenses are
play.
Generally designed to mess around with your right. linebackers, so... I mean, any program not coming off of Devin Bush would be ecstatic to have a Josh Ross at middle linebacker.
And, like, I'm pumped about Josh Ross. I don't think he's going to be Bush, but I think he's clearly going to be draftable. And
yeah.
I don't know if he's going to go, but I think he's going to be one of the better linebackers in the Big Ten. And then the weak side is it's interesting because they've got Jordan Glasgow is competing there. You got Devin Gill. You have Jordan Anthony. And you have Cam McGrone. Now, the guy I want to win that job is Cam McGrone.
I really, really like Cam McGrone.
From the latest, I don't think that's going to happen this year. I mean, he is a Devin Bush-style athlete, but he's not Devin Bush in the way he can just, like, can exactly what an offense is doing right away.
Well, I've...
A lot of his high school film was actually that.
I've heard some things both ways.
Uh-huh.
I think it's something that is very much up in the air. I know that, like, the people inside the program are really big fans of Gil. He's just a good dude. Mm-hmm. And that might be an advantage for him.
He's part of that Flanagan group.
Yeah, and he was okay last year. But I think that there's just no way that he's going to have the upside of either Jordan Anthony, who is a Rivals five-star. We forget that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or McGrone, who I think flew up the recruiting rankings specifically because of what Devin Bush was doing. Because people were like, oh, maybe this guy should be in the top 50 because right. he's a lot like Devin Bush.
So. Except for he's 3 inches taller than Devin Bush.
I know, but his explosion, just kind of the way he approaches the game is very Bush.
Yeah, I mean, we're getting into the meta game here, but like the running backs in Browns, the linebackers in Browns defense are supposed to relate to the running backs. And I think where they got gashed a lot last year was running backs who could outrun Devin Gill. And this is going back to McCray. We're a problem. And if you can have a linebacker, both linebackers who can take those running backs wherever they go,
yeah,
whether they go on crossing routes or downfield.
They haven't really been able to field 2+ athletes at the linebacker position, except when Ross was out there, but he was only out there half the time for reasons that remain mysterious to me.
I like the idea of using that weak side linebacker position as, you know, whoever we're facing that week, whoever's the best player can play,
sure.
Whoever the best matchup is, because they have different types of athletes there.
But that's kind of the one spot on the defense where there's a significant mystery about who's going to play there. Because, you know, you're going to have some rotation on the defensive line, but you know Dan is going to play weak side end. You know Pay is going to get a bunch of snaps. You know Hayden Hutchinson.
Second corner is probably the other one.
Yeah. But weak side linebacker, there are 5 different guys who could get a bunch of snaps or get no snaps at all. So
yeah,
that's.
I mean, Gill, I'd expect to get some at least.
We'll
I
see.
Assume he at least rotates.
But I'm rooting for McGrone and then Anthony in that order. So
yeah, I would like to see one of the young bucks come through because the upside there is just.
Underrate a Glasgow at your own peril, sir.
I'm not underrating a Glasgow. He's just, you know, he's a viper. He's not really a weak side linebacker.
Yeah, and I think there's situationally a lot of space to use a lot of those guys.
I mean, the play that still gives me hope for him as a linebacker is when he two-sided that block on the Ohio State fake
the punt. Yeah. So,
but yeah. That was like 3 years ago.
Yeah, so. It's been a minute.
yeah, I would prefer an actual linebacker, I think, to be that guy.
All right, so we're going to take a break, come back, and talk about the secondary, which also has a big question mark.
In most good movies, there's a hero and a coach. You are the hero, like Luke Skywalker. We are your coach, like Yoda. It's Nick Hopwood from
Peak Wealth Management,
your MGO financial coach. Learn more at peakwm.com/mgoblog. I'm the CFP who coaches people just like you. We both hate going to weddings on Michigan football Saturdays. And just like Luke, most of you need a little bit of coaching and guidance. And to qualify as a coach needs to have empathy and authority. Yoda has empathy because he's been battling the Sith for hundreds of years. We have empathy because we've seen people we care about making terrible financial decisions, putting their retirement at risk. Yoda has authority because he's arguably the most powerful Jedi of all time. We have authority because we have an economics degree from Michigan, we are CFP, we have 20 years in the business, and we manage over $145 million of client assets. And we've seen hundreds of cases. You are the hero, and we are your financial coach. If you're ready for a second opinion about your financial future, check out peakwm.com/amgoblog today.
Are you planning a business trip, a Michigan reunion, or a revenge tour in Ann Arbor and don't want to be stuck out by I-94? Look no further than the Residence Inn Ann Arbor downtown. Positioned at the corner of Huron and Ashley, the hotel is just a block from Main Street and a short walk to Michigan Stadium and Central Campus with all the amenities you expect. Also, we podcast here most Sunday mornings, so if you let us know you're coming, we'll let you put a shout out on the pod. That's the Residence Inn Ann Arbor downtown.
In southeastern Michigan, the yearly cost for a nursing home averages $90,000. It doesn't have to, though. Reed McCarthy founded Ann Arbor Elder Law after handling a tricky situation for his own family. Years of experience later, his boutique firm works with clients across southeast Michigan dealing with Medicaid planning, long-term care, and tax, disability, and family law, not to mention family dynamics. If you have a family member who may need that level of care, or if you're ready to start your own estate plan, Reed can give you a plan for the future. Visit AnnArborElderLaw.com or call 734-945-9693. That's 734-945-9693.
It can be a rough ride along the information superhighway. That's why we build our e-commerce websites tough enough to handle the load. With the capacity to take hundreds of simultaneous online transactions and the stability of load-balanced co-located server architectures, a website from Human Element performs in the roughest conditions. Thousands of products? No problem. We'll throw in the tools to manage it with precision and efficiency. All with a design slick enough to make you think your girlfriend might be impressed. So load it up and hit the gas and let Human Element show you the way. Special offers available for returning lessees. Financing available with approved credit to qualified buyers. Client participation may affect savings. Optional equipment available at additional cost. See human-element.com for details.
I'm running through the world like a running back. Yeah. Scarface World's where I'm running back. Yeah. 30,000 people in here on me. 80,000 people in London, Wembley. 90,000 people in Morocco and I'm just getting warmed up. Bobo. Catch me with red one in Stockholm, Beirut Cafe. Get my drink on. While all the pretty women hit the hookah. Yeah. All of them sweet. I suga, suga.
Dale di fruta. Dale di fruta.
They can't. They won't. They never will. Stop the party.
A good time out there.
So, ulcerative colitis. We cursed the ode.
I thought it was just colitis.
It is amazing how many physicians have come out of the woodwork since.
I think it is ulcerative. I think that
I mean, colitis is like a catch-all term, and then like it's either
ulcerative is also fairly catch-all.
Colitis or something.
Yeah, that you get down to the specifics. I mean,
it sounded unpleasant.
It's not lupus, though.
That's true.
Every doctor you start trying to explain it to me is like, oh, that's very generic. That's generic too.
Well, whatever. Anyway, Ambry Thomas lost like 40 pounds.
He pooped out a lot of his weight.
Thank you.
You're all welcome. That's,
I thank you for that.
And
is apparently back up to his normal playing weight, but is not on the fall roster. And so obviously that means he's not practicing. And obviously that means he's not going to play early in the season. Whether he can get back is an open question. It will really depend on if they can get his condition under control and if he can get back to a reasonable playing weight. We are going to assume that's not going to happen for half the season and talk about the rest of the secondary in his absence. Mm. And that starts with LeVert Hill. Hey, that's good.
Okay, that part.
He's good.
That part I like.
He's good, yeah.
LeVert Hill and David Long comprised one of the best cornerback pairings in recent Michigan history last year. Hill was pretty much indistinguishable from Long, in my opinion.
For the last 2 years, really.
I mean, whenever they get targeted, they get their heads around. They're always in great position.
And Long got targeted more than Hill. So whoever was scouting Michigan was like, let's go after the other guy.
And, you know, I think that he's going to be a clear number one corner and maybe we don't see him much this year.
Yeah, we might just,
Just going to be over there doing stuff. And then over here will be other people. And it seems like Vincent Gray is the number two corner now.
Yeah.
Vincent Gray was a late flip from, I believe, Washington State in the 2018 class.
Yeah, Notre Dame was actually, you know, in contact with him too when Michigan offered.
And the 2018 class was all tall guys.
Yep.
And one of them was pretty highly rated, Miles Spider Sims, and he's gone. And then the other guys are like Jemon Green, Sammy Faustin, German Green.
And they had St. Just in the class before that. He's gone too.
Yeah, so like they're really, this is like the one spot on the roster where they have not recruited well. Like, there's some questions at defensive tackle, but they brought in a five-star and a guy who I think is going to play like a top 50 player in Mazi Smith. There's not really the cavalry coming at cornerback. So this year they bring in Jalen Perry, who got processed by Georgia, and they're desperate for guys in spring because Hill's not participating, Ambry's not participating. Or did Ambry participate in
not
spring?
Not much in spring, though. No.
But they've got Vincent Gray out there getting torched by Oliver Martin, RIP, and Perry's there, and this is a situation where, like,
his like one play was Tarik Black, angled
right,
him,
giving him the business.
Yeah,
and but more than that, it's like you've got 3 weeks of spring practice, and like we're not talking about this freshman at all when someone needs to be talked about.
And that's a position where a freshman should be able to come in and compete right away.
Right. So I'm a little bit down on Perry. I think he might end up being a safety. Then they bring in DJ Turner, who's kind of a 3.5 star, who they pursue in a way that's encouraging. Like, they were clearly like, we want this guy.
Yeah.
We don't care what his ranking is. It's kind of like the Devin Bush vibe where it's like, okay, this guy is someone who the coaches really trust in, but prominent Georgia high school, on a lot of radars, decent smattering of offers, did the camps, and the ranking stayed where it is.
The good news is he's a guy that they're talking about right now. The program's talking about.
They are talking about him a little bit. Still,
I'm worried because they need to talk about somebody
right
now.
And it's, yeah.
I mean, they're also talking about Jalen Kelly Powell right now. And
I mean, they haven't
I'd like
mentioned,
to believe in that. He's been a positional vagabond.
I mean, they haven't
years.
Even mentioned Jemon Green in weeks.
Yeah.
And, you know,
they haven't mentioned Sammy Faustin. They haven't mentioned either Green.
Right.
And, like, some of those guys are safeties and some of those guys are cornerbacks, but they need safety depth, too.
Yeah, there's just a pile of defensive backs where they need people to break through, and they're not really mentioning many of them.
Yeah. So these are our concerns, dude.
Yeah.
So it looks like it's going to be Vincent Gray, and they're going to hope to put him on the boundary and just have him Clark it.
Which has worked absolutely fine against most comers in Michigan history.
You know, if he can Jeremy Clark it, it'll be fine.
Yeah, I mean, he's not James Rogers out there. He could be, like, you know, a Stribling or just a Brandon Watson. Brandon Watson was fantastic for us last year until he got put
in the deep end against guys who run a 4-3.
Yeah. Right, but how many guys, unless Iowa can get Oliver Martin, then when do we face one of those? Penn State?
Ohio State?
Well, at the end of the year, then you should have Ambry back.
We hope.
Yeah.
So these are I don't think it's going to be that bad because, as you mentioned, Michigan doesn't face a lot of high-powered passing attacks, especially in the first half of the season. So they've got Wisconsin, and they don't know who their quarterback is.
Probably Jack Cohn.
Right. So
Army, you know, they'll throw it three times.
So I mean, one other thing that could mitigate some of the issues at corner is that LeVert Hill is a very good slot corner. And yeah. Then at least you can use those lanky guys, put them on the outside, and kind of just...
They seem to want to leave him outside,
it
though.
It sounds like what...
I don't know if they're going to have much of a choice,
It
though.
Sounds like what they're going to do is they're going to play three safeties. So it's,
that might work out better, it's considering the depth.
Either Hawkins or Dax Hill as the nickel corner,
I'm
basically.
Okay with getting Dax Hill on the field a lot.
Yeah. So safety, you have Josh Metellus, and Metellus is a rock, and it's going to get drafted probably in the middle rounds.
One of the most underappreciated Michigan players in recent memory.
He and Delano Hill are probably the best Michigan safeties since I've been paying close attention. So he's obviously going to be an all Big Ten level player. And then people have been talking up Brad Hawkins. Now, Brad Hawkins had a significant amount of playing time last year.
Had one memorable bad play.
Two memorable bad plays.
A couple memorable bad
okay.
plays.
Okay, so he phased out of existence one time, which Jordan Lewis used to do too.
No.
Channing Stribling was the phase out of existence person.
So what happened to Jordan Lewis early in his career is he'd be in great position, and then the quarterback would throw like a DO plus 1 inch over his outstretched hand.
Turn it an unstoppable throw god, Trevor Siemian.
Right. And that didn't continue.
What happened to Hawkins was
what happened to Hawkins was not good.
Hawkins
it
jumped
was bad.
Too.
It's unfortunate.
It Hawkins
was bad.
Got too excited in the first game of the season and jumped too early. So he was on his come down when the 5'11 walk on picks the ball out from behind him.
So that was bad.
Yeah.
I think we can agree.
Yeah.
That was bad.
All right.
It was quite bad. But it was a freak occurrence, and which then, I don't think is going to happen a lot against a guy who's he was a receiver. That's what he's supposed to do.
His jump ball skills on other plays,
yeah,
in the past.
And
good.
He was
what other plays?
His high school.
There's the other play. Obviously, is you know Isaiah Pacheco from Rutgers outrunning him, who is their kick returner, who is supposed to be a pretty like. Once that guy
he's
gets
still
moving
like
fast,
a 220-pound Rutgers running back.
The play against him that gives me more concern was he got slot faded. He just got out of position and didn't like know where you're supposed to be against SMU and gave up a touchdown that like briefly made that awful game actually.
Oh
go
no,
close.
That was just a bust.
Yeah.
Like they both went to the same player.
Right. So that's who he was. He was a former receiver who made a bust when he got out there.
It's fine.
But that's probably by now cleared up.
Maybe.
People who don't lie to us about these things are talking him up now.
Yeah, but they don't know. They think, but
Michigan's
they don't
got
know.
Some receivers to test. If you want to go and test a guy against some like you know NFL caliber receivers,
but
we have a few.
The
of those.
Problem is that all hype in this category is necessarily Johnny Sears hype.
Yep.
Yeah, it's true.
There is one dude for that spot right now.
Right, and then Dax Hill's going to come along and he's going to play a lot, and that's going to be fine. I guess, but like
it'll probably be quite eventful.
It will be Pepper's freshman year. It will like throw him in the nickel to start off with, and have him out athlete everybody, and then once he picks things up, he can do more.
I don't know, man. It's gonna be weird. Could play some zone.
Boy, we'll have some people who might not be upset about that.
Yeah.
They have the trap zone in the playbook. They just didn't use it very much last year, and then it was so rusty when they pulled it out.
I mean, it's not that it's rusty. It's that they didn't have the diversity of approaches that they needed to. Like, it was real bad on the first drive against Ohio State when it's just like crossing route, crossing route, crossing route, crossing route. It's like, oh, no, because that's all they do.
Mm-hmm.
So, not great.
I mean, everyone's going to come out crossing. MTSU is a four-wide crossing route with a super slot team. So you're going to see right away what Michigan's response is to last year. I hope Michigan has actually some pretty cool responses that are saved for Notre Dame and Ohio State.
Zone. Going to have to zone. I mean, I don't think that's in Don Brown's DNA, but I also feel like you got a lot of Blake Countesses out there and you got to...
Every team zones. Every team has to zone.
I know, but like Michigan's...
He's been particularly averse to it.
Michigan probably
ran. Because Michigan had 15, the guys
20% zone last year.
When you're just when you're pumping out a Jordan Lewis and okay, then you're pumping out a Vert Hill after that, like you play man, you play.
Yeah, but you play man, and then you get devastated and give up 63 points to Ohio State when you're the number one defense in the country. Like you can't just pretend like it's not that didn't happen, and we can just keep.
Obviously, every Michigan fan knows what happened,
except you apparently.
No, it didn't happen to LeVert Hill. It didn't happen to Long. It happened to Watson. It happened to Gill.
Okay, but like, how many Watsons and Gills are we putting out there this year? I count at least two.
Yeah, they're still going to have to play more than two defensive backs.
So. I am aware, and I think that like by the time they get to Ohio State, they're going to need to have some other things other than going cover one. But you can probably get through most of the season cover one-ing most of these teams to death.
Okay, well, why don't we practice some of the stuff that we would
need I to am do for this? That.
Okay. Fired up, gonna give you peace of my mind.
I have opinions, Brian, about football.
Yes, you should stop doing that.
Yeah, you know what safety after those guys though is. Woods is probably not happening at this
all
point.
All Woods is doesn't seem like it's happening. Nobody's talked about him. Faustin's not happening. Nobody's talked about him. Green's not happening. Nobody's talked about him.
Yeah, an injury at safety would be a disaster.
Yeah, it's a problem. Because, I mean, it looks like they hit that defensive back class with all the tall guys.
Right.
It's the, like, equivalent of the Hoke OL class where it's just, like, swing and a miss.
Mm-hmm.
You get nothing.
And they needed.
It's a little bit early to say that. I guess Gray's coming through and he's going to play a lot. But when the guy who you flipped at the last minute
is the one pushing through.
Yeah, it's not good.
It's a little bothersome that some other teams out there have cornerbacks that we were looking at. We're going to play some of them.
Well, I mean, the only thing that really rankles about the last recruiting class is Julian Barnett.
Right.
So they messed it up with Dobbs. Who cares? They messed it up with an in-state cornerback who could have continued the, like, Jordan Lewis, LeVert Hill.
State is good at developing cornerbacks. I can understand, like, going to Michigan State to play cornerback. He's not even playing cornerback, though. He's playing
wide receiver.
Yeah.
That one does rankle. They got Seldon coming in next year.
Yeah, and they need like three more cornerbacks.
Yeah, they do.
We're going to take a break, come back, and kind of talk holistically, which is how you make a whole out of listicles.
The places you'll go may seem far from Ann Arbor. From San Francisco to St. Louis to Shanghai. But as members of the Alumni Association, we're never far. Because Michigan is more than a place. It's a mindset that connects us. For those who leave Michigan, but for whom Michigan never leaves, this is where you belong. The Alumni Association of the University of Michigan. Join today at umalumni.com.
Let me just tell you a couple things to keep in your mind while you're out there. When we take the field, we're going to win. We've got big goals. We've got big ideas. We've got to win this game, and there is no game on the remainder of our schedule more important than the one you're going down to the tunnel to play today. Now let's go! Let's go!
Underground Printing is proud to present the Bow Store. Visit us at our new location at 333 South Main or online at www.bow.team.
If you get in foul trouble in Ann Arbor or Metro Detroit, you want a Michigan man on your bench. Call former prosecutor and now criminal defense attorney Jonathan Paul, the Michigan Law Grad, at 248-924-9458 or visit his website at michiganlawgrad.com.
Want the perfect game day outfit? Underground Printing has unique, great-fitting UM apparel and officially licensed apparel from legendary Michigan names like Woodson, Howard, Schembechler, Ufer, and more. UGP also specializes in custom-printed apparel and promotional items for groups, events, and businesses. Whether you need one shirt as a gift or 1,000 shirts for a charity walk, Underground can customize almost anything for groups large or small. To learn more, visit Underground Printing at one of our three convenient locations around Ann Arbor or online at undergroundshirts.com.
Are you planning a business trip, a Michigan reunion, or a revenge tour in Ann Arbor and don't want to be stuck out by I-94? Look no further than the Residence Inn Ann Arbor downtown. Positioned at the corner of Huron and Ashley, the hotel is just a block from Main Street and a short walk to Michigan Stadium and Central Campus with all the amenities you expect. Also, we podcast here most Sunday mornings, so if you let us know you're coming, we'll let you put a shout-out on the pod. That's the Residence Inn Ann Arbor downtown.
Reporting live from the tallest building in Tokyo. Long way from them hallways. Filled with O's and O's. They counting always. Real fat all day. Now, baby, we can parlay. Oh, baby, we can party. She read books, especially about red rooms and tie-ups. I got her hooked. Cause she see me in a suit with a red tie tied up. It's nice to meet you. But time is money. Only difference is I own it. Now, let's stop time and enjoy this moment.
One day. Glowing, I'll be in my castle golden, but until the gates are open, I just wanna feel this moment. Whoa, I just wanna feel this moment.
All right, before we get into our holistic thoughts about the defense, we're going to linger a little bit and talk about special teams.
Place kicker battle.
Which should be very good.
That was pretty epic there, Ace.
As noted during the place kicker battle during the spring game, all of the field goals were made until about 60 yards out. Like, there was not a miss from inside, I think, 55.
This isn't the Brabs-Nienberg kicker battle of years past.
And, you know, so you have two guys, and if it's going to be Moody to start, and I think Moody's going to be one of the better kickers in the league, and if he's not, you have a great backup option in Quinn Nordine.
A great, if somewhat erratic.
As a backup option, you know, it's like, yeah, it's good.
Former number one kicker in the country, yeah.
Yeah, so, and like,
and like, had a, you know, you were going to get some crazy things done to your hair because of his wild thing was happening.
Yeah, well, now it's not. Now he just needs to drink a smoothie with a mood in it. If Moody kicks a long field goal, called a smoothie.
You're really good at the words today.
I'm always good at the words. And then punter Will Hart came out of absolutely nowhere last year to be one of the best punters in the country.
He was a monster.
And Michigan's still afraid of what happened to them against Michigan State, so their punt coverage is NFL style. So the gross didn't equal the net in terms of accomplishment for the punter, but that's not the punter's fault. He was able to boom him high and long, and then Michigan's coverage was just kind of meh because...
Which is a bit concerning considering some of the guys they're kicking off to, they're punting to this year.
Eh.
But...
I mean, it's not ideal, but I don't know what to say about it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, we've made our thoughts on spread versus traditional punt.
Spread punting is clearly superior because you get seven gunners instead of two.
I mean, there is something probably to the fact that Michigan can beat a spread punt, like they
that is the one thing that is, because they haven't had any of their punts blocked, but they are very good at getting to punts, and that's something that it's weird that it hasn't spread at all. Like, it seems like Michigan's punt block is something that would be emulated. So I guess that's, you know, the mitigating factor is that Michigan's going to give up three or four extra yards on every punt return because of this, but they'll also send some punts back to center while not having the same thing happen to them.
It'd be nice if that, like, so I think last year punters started just rolling into it, and because they don't actually call that, it should not be called roughing the punter if they're, you know, outside the pocket. But referees don't know that, and well, they got a couple calls against them from
there.
That.
There was the Iowa game that happened in where he was clearly outside of the.
And Ohio State did it to us too.
Mm-hmm.
So, but in any case,
return game should also be pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, kickoff returns basically don't exist anymore.
But Donovan Peoples-Jones is a very exciting punt returner.
Yeah, and so that'll be a positive. I mean,
Giles Jackson's going to be back there. Like,
I wonder if they're going to go with more of the two guys back that they did a little bit last year. I thought that was a good response because when you're executing the spread punt, like, your fake options are fairly limited.
Yeah.
So, like, you can afford to put a second guy back there without worrying about getting it on your face. So that'll be an interesting way to see if we can take advantage of some of our water bugs. So, but special teams, I think, will be probably top 10, top 15. It's kind of hard to judge just because it's a swingy, low sample size thing.
Mm-hmm.
So Michigan was, I think they were in the top 10 in kick return efficiency this year because they had one touchdown and did nothing
Ambry
else.
Yeah, Thomas broke one really long one.
And that was it. So they that's what happens. You either get a kickoff return for a touchdown or you get nothing. So it's hard to make predictions, but it looks like Michigan should have one of the better special teams units in the country. Now, defense holistically, we touched on this. We touched on various things when we talked about linebackers and the secondary. One, how much stack, and two, how much zone. And how do those comport with what Don Brown wants to do? I don't know.
I think that we are selling Don Brown short because last year we were so excited about, like, okay, finally, it's year three under Don Brown. He's going to have all of his fun stuff that he had at Boston College because he used to have a lot of fun. And UConn, he had a whole bunch of crazy things. Like, he used to be a lot more than just, like, let's play cover one all the time. And I think he was doing that because he thought he had the guys at Michigan, and at the end of the year he didn't until they hadn't practiced anything. But Don Brown is going to bring out some funky stuff, especially on third downs.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to have all that stuff in his back pocket because it's not like he was flush with talent at UConn or Maryland or BC. Like,
yeah, it seems like he's got a changeup for just about everything. It's just a matter of, like, what do you want to install? How much time do you want to spend on it? What fits with your guys?
He used to do a lot more substitution too. He would he would get guys in there to use their abilities and just make himself an impossible scout. And he hasn't had to do that at Michigan because Michigan's had their 11 guys that he put out there.
Yeah, I mean, it does feel like this is going to be a step back. Like, I don't think it's going to be a big step back because I think you have a lot of depth at defensive end. You have a lot of depth at linebacker. You have a couple of solid pieces in the secondary. This isn't going to be like disaster time, but there's just a couple of holes that I think people can poke their fingers into and wave them around and touch your internal organs, and it just feels gross, you know?
I mean, if they can string together a top 15 with, like, you know, having, if they have some cool stuff they've been saving for Notre Dame and Penn State and Ohio State, and, like, the rest of the season they just get by because they actually match those guys in talent, you could come out with a top 15 defense and against this, with this offense, that's a playoff team. If they're 30, then you're, you know,
they're not going to be 30. Don Brown coaches this defense.
30 is like a FBS average, not FBS, a Power 5 average defense.
And they're going to be a lot better than that.
Yeah, that's probably not
so
in the cards.
Are they top? I mean, if they're top 25, it's going to feel weird because we've been
top 15, but we've been used to top 3.
Right.
Well, top 3 until things.
Yeah.
I mean,
fair.
They did not finish in the top 3 last year.
I tend to stop looking at stats after certain games.
There was 16 and 17 when, you know, Penn State gashed them. You know, Ohio State couldn't do anything against them in 2017.
Well, and that's kind of the thing, is it look like we come off this Ohio State game and we're like, oh, they have our number. Everything is disgusting, and I hate the fact that we're so tactically behind. And then the year before, we win that game going away if anyone other than John O'Korn is a quarterback. So it's not like Michigan hasn't been up to snuff with their tactical approach to the Ohio State game consistently.
And it felt that way with the, I mean, Seth brought up the Penn State game where they put on a fireworks show against Michigan. And then, you know, last year they decidedly did not do that.
No. Well, and so the thing is that Penn State game 2 years ago, you know, they have the Saquon touchdown right at the beginning where they take advantage of the fact that Gary
is shooting upfield.
Right. So they pass that against Gary because Gary is easy to dupe like that because he always thought he was a weak side end. And then they're like sending Mike McCray out to cover Saquon Barkley on the edge. That's the one thing in, like, the whole Don Brown era where it was clear, like, this is a terrible idea. Mm-hmm. I am a layperson, but I know something disastrous is about to happen. And then it happened. So having the ability to, I mean, get past that is important. But also, you know, Ricky Rain is now the offensive coordinator at Penn State. And last year, what did they do? They came back and they ran the same Saquon Barkley Wildcat stuff, which didn't work after the first time Moorhead did it.
Yeah.
Like, Moorhead did it, and he got, like, an 80-yard touchdown, and then they averaged 2 yards a snap on it the rest of the game.
There's been some pretty valid criticisms of Rain's
Yeah, you look at, I mean, Moorhead, I
this
got
is,
this from the
this
Penn
is,
State.
This
yeah,
is more
we're
of
off
a,
topic.
Yeah, but Michigan's defense is going to be good enough to, you know, stack up man-to-man against most of the teams they play. The question is, what happens against Penn State, who's got a lot of talent? What happens against Notre Dame, who's got a lot of talent and is well coached, and what happens against Ohio State, who has a lot of talent and is really well coached.
Yep, so don't run all man-to-man.
So, yeah. I mean, the answer is to have some funky stuff out there. Don't show them the same look all the time.
All right, well.
And hope Dax Hill is really good.
Yeah, hopefully he can come on by the time that the heavy hitters step in. All right, that has been podcast 0.B6242.
11.0.B.
Yeah. No, there's only one. Whatever. This was our podcast. I hope you enjoyed it.
Thank you for listening to the MGO podcast. Part 3 of our mega season preview podcast will be out later this week. I am Ace Amender, along with Brian Cook and Seth Fisher. Please rate and review us on iTunes, but once again, only if you want to give us 5 stars.
Got it better than